Because you're mine.
And welcome back again to Breakthrough Entertainment Live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave alongside Joseph J., Trisha, Eric, and the lovely Kathleen. Oh, you got the earrings, the pearl. Is it pearl? Pearl earrings. And the necklace with pearls. Yeah. See, I'm getting good at this, Eric.
She knows how to rock her pearls.
Oh, nice. And Joseph appears to be sort of dancing.
I think I'm hypnotized by this music.
It is very hypnotic.
It is.
What?
Someone is going to put a spell on us.
I thought it looked frenetic.
Yeah?
Frenetic?
Who?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, joining us right now is comic.
In a very low, deep voice.
Joining us right now is America's... Arizona's favorite comic slash hypnotist.
You gotta do pausing too.
Arizona's favorite comic.
That was not bad. You almost embedded slash favorite. Yes, you have to say
hypnotist.
Joining us, right?
He doesn't have all day.
He's got it. The show is almost over.
All right, Flip Orley, welcome to the show. Hey, I saw you at the Improv years ago. You are hysterical. That your show is just off the charts.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Very. I highly recommend it. And, when are you going there? When? Next week? Is that?
Yeah. Next week, September 29 through Sunday, October 2nd.
Oh, perfect. That is really, really cool stuff. By the way, I took neuro-linguistic programming, so we did learn a little more towards Milton Erickson hypnosis, which I believe is probably a little different than what you do.
No, well, actually, I mean, to a degree it is. But yeah, NLP was developed by Bandler and Grinder.
Exactly.
Who also studied with and worked with Erickson and wrote books about Erickson as well.
Okay, so do you do more... I always assume stage hypnosis would be more direct, where Erickson is indirect. But do you do both or more Ericksonian?
Well, so, okay, and this is a little bit heady maybe for some people listening, but I'm going to answer your question anyway. You're right, stage hypnosis is very direct, and to a degree with Erickson, he did a lot of indirect stuff, confusion techniques and metaphors and storytelling and things of that nature, but on occasion also did direct hypnosis, and what he did was he kind of basically looked for each individual client and decided, you know, as he got to know something about them, what would be the best approach. So with stage hypnosis, it needs to be fairly direct. But at the same time, a lot of what I've read about Erickson's techniques and Bandler and Grinder's techniques and Jeffrey Zeig's techniques, which is that's all Ericksonian hypnosis, was to attempt to use some of those techniques woven into what I do for a few reasons. As a means of deepening techniques and getting some modestly subliminal, not really subliminal, but kind of subliminal messages across and just helping people to achieve a deeper state of hypnosis.
You know, one of the first stage hypnotists I remember long ago, Pat Collins, familiar with
the hip hypnotist? Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, did you?
She owned a club. She owned a club on Hollywood Boulevard for like 20 years. She also worked a ton in Vegas, Tahoe, Reno. She was on TV a bunch and was the premier hypnotist for two or three decades.
That's right, yeah. I doubt she's around anymore, right?
You know what? I haven't heard anything from or about her. Not that we knew each other. We did not.
Yeah.
But in several years. She was the name. She had been on the I Love Lucy show. She was on a number of other like prominent TV shows in her time. And you know, she was the name. She was the person.
Yeah, and so. With your show... is there any pressure on you that, you know, to get a good group there, a good mixture, a good group that, you know, many will be susceptible or and some might be in a more of a lighter trance? Is there any pressure any time maybe, for example, that you just didn't have a really good group? And if you didn't, what do you do about that? How do you handle that?
Well, I mean, the pressure is, you know, first and foremost that I put on myself because, you know, I mean, you take pride in what you do and I love what I do and I want to do a good job. But that said, you know, because I don't bring volunteers with me, and I don't pepper the crowd with shills. So it really is whoever comes up on stage, that's my group, and I'm going to do the best that I can with them. And thankfully, it doesn't happen often, but every once in a while, you'll run into a group of volunteers that are nice, even hypnotized, but really reserved or shy or unwilling to demonstrate what it is they're experiencing. In fact, last night, I'm in Saratoga, New York this week, and on Thursday night, you know, I spoke to three or four people after the show that had been hypnotized, and they were chronicling for me every experience they had, and yet when it came time to demonstrate it, you know, or admit it, they were unwilling to. So it just looked like they were really sleepy folks that were sitting up on stage, just kind of relaxed.
Wow.
Well, at least some of them got a nice nap out of it, perhaps.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a little bit brutal, but, I mean, thankfully, to a degree, I started out on stage doing stand-up, and I believe, you know, that, if you're going to work at a comedy club, that everything you do should be comedically based. Mm-hmm. And so the funnier and more outgoing the volunteers are, the more I just really let them star in the show and make the show funny. But if they're reserved and they pull back, I'll do what I can to continue to make the show entertaining and to keep moving along. Mm-hmm. So my preference is to let them shine. But if they're going to be reserved and kind of quiet, I'll step in whenever I can and wherever I can.
If anyone's just now joining us on Breakthrough Entertainment, we are speaking with comic/hypnotist Flip Orley. He will be at the Tempe Improv, headlining at the Tempe Improv September 29th through October 2nd. Flip,
right.
What are some of the more unusual things that have happened on the stage? I mean, because I think most of the time we think of, okay, someone's clucking like a chicken or something. You know, what
or
is
everybody's
it?
Naked.
Or yeah, imagine
right, exactly.
That, yeah, exactly, yeah. So what would you, what's some of the more unusual?
I'll do a naked bit. Like the first few bits that I do, you can think of as bits, but I really think of as deepening techniques. So it's more, you know, early on things like, you know, the mind controlling the body, making like your hands stuck together or your arms stiff and straight or things of that nature. But then as people become more deeply hypnotized and I separate out those who will most likely star in the show versus those that will mostly make their way back into the audience. Mm-hmm. From there, the bits that I try to do, you know, I stay away from the bark like a dog, squeal like a pig, cluck like a chicken thing. I like when they interact and where it becomes like an improvisation group. Mm-hmm. So as an example, like, are you aware of the term microaggression?
No.
By the way, or no?
I have not heard of that.
It's becoming a very big deal on college campuses around the country. Because, you know, kids are becoming very sensitive, little snowflakes, and they need a safe space, and, you know, they don't want their sensibilities harmed. And, you know, the idea of freedom of speech and an exchange of ideas is becoming more and more scarce in college campuses. So, as an example, if you were to say to a group, hey, you guys, do you want to go do this? That could be considered microaggressing someone, because by saying guys, there could be women whose feelings would be hurt.
Oh.
So
all those lists that have been coming out on the campuses of things that you really shouldn't say or do, and
it's ridiculous. So I mean, I wrote a bit about that, and so as an example, the volunteers on stage actually are the ones who developed the idea of microaggression, and they're making their way around the country, trying to school people on what is and is not acceptable and what's microaggressive, and so. Yeah, so this lady, because a lot of people have heard of it and a lot of people haven't, so I was in Washington, D.C., and one of the volunteers, who was a, quote, expert on microaggression, she's like, well, right away, you know if you've been microaggressed because it's in your underwear, right away, and you have to take your underwear off, and you have to be sprayed. You have to be sprayed to get the microaggression out of you, and you can clearly tell that, like, in her mind, she knew what she was talking about, but it more sounded like people are being sprayed from mosquitoes to prevent, you know, the Zika virus.
Oh, my gosh.
Just really silly. So, from putting people on, marrying people off and putting them on the newlywed game where they're vying for the grand prize chosen just for them, I was working in Denver and I was speaking to three women that were not on stage. I was just at a, like, you know, coffee shop getting coffee. And randomly, one of the women told me that it was her time of the month. And then the other two said it was the same for them. And they started comparing and contrasting who had the worst cramps and who had the worst time. And they got really competitive about it.
Wow.
And so I wrote a bit from that I called Top That. And
how funny. Oh, that
yeah,
is
so
funny.
It's really silly. And so the volunteers are constantly competing with each other and interacting with each other and improvising, but in the moment it's real to them, and in the, they're not acting, they're not faking it, they're not pretending. In their unconscious imagination is very real, and they the interaction is just really improvisational and unique. And every show is unique and different. You'll never see the same show twice.
Oh, it's a great show. I've seen you at least twice, and very, very funny, both at the Improv. One other question, and then maybe Joseph and Tricia have one other. We're sort of ending, coming near the end of the show. But do you have some type of bailout anchor where if anyone gets out of control, that you know you can anchor them immediately, either physically or with a word, a gesture or something, and get them right back to sleep or under control?
Yeah, you know, and you set that up, or at least I do anyway, early on, and then reinforce it as the show progresses. So as kind of a fail-safe, by just hearing the word sleep, you know, in most cases what I'm looking to do is have people close their eyes and sort of anchor back down into a very relaxed state. Also, I decided what would be kind of fun is to have as a safety net the Spock Vulcan grip on the shoulder.
Oh, gotcha.
As one. And so I'll give you an example as to why that can become important. So years ago, I was working in Indiana, and I had a guy on stage who happened to play nose tackle for Indiana State University.
Ooh.
And the guy was like 300 pounds, and he was deeply hypnotized and really funny and very engaging. And I had decided at that point that I thought it would be really fun to change the meaning of words, because I think that the definition of words are very pliable, you know. So,
yeah.
For instance, okay, like if you were to use the word gay in 1930, it would mean one thing.
Right.
If you use the word gay in 2016, it means something quite a bit different. And it's not that there's a value judgment, one is better than the other. Mm-hmm. It's just an observation that the meaning changed. So with that in mind, I decided that the suggestion would be the words ladies and gentlemen would become very, very offensive to the volunteers, and they would demand that I apologize. So so the volunteers open up their eyes, and I'm talking to the audience. I go, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming out here. And this nose tackle stood up, and he goes, you are so offensive, I'm going to kick your butt.
Ooh.
And he clenched his fist, and he started running at me. Like, this 300-pound nose tackle started running at me, and I was scared to death. Like, I knew that was going to be my last show. So in just like praying that it worked, I pointed my finger directly at him and screamed at the top of my lungs, sleep! And as he was running at me, I saw his eyes roll up in his head. His body went limp.
Oh, my gosh.
And then that. And he fell, but thankfully he fell moving forward with forward momentum, and he fell on me, so I broke his fall. But I hit the ground so hard, and then my head went back into the stage. I ended up with a massive concussion.
Oh, I'm sorry, but that's a great example, though. Excellent.
Oh, yeah.
Example.
But, you know, like if I had to have him fall anywhere, I would rather have him fall on me, so I broke his fall.
Yeah.
And if I had to be hurt in any way, I'd rather have him fall on me in a very relaxed state than to be punching me in the face.
Which makes sense. Wow. We got to have you on again, Flip. We're out of time here, end of the show. But
Tempe Improv,
yes.
September 29th through October 2nd.
And it sounds like it's going to be a fantastic time.
No doubt.
It'll be so much fun. I'm doing a happy hour also, a meet and greet happy hour from 6 to 8 at the Devil's Advocate on Wednesday the 28th.
Excellent.
Come and have a drink. We're doing that.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Well, thanks so much for being on the show, Flip.
Yes, thank
thanks
you.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right,
thank
talk
you.
Talk to you soon.
Wow, Flip Orley.
And, of course, from Hocus Pocus, bringing us into Breakthrough Entertainment's celebration of Halloween starting next week. I put a spell on you. Bette Midler,
you
Hocus Pocus.
Oh, I like Bette Midler. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment live, 1480 AM, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. See everyone next week.